everyone, and welcome to Rewatchable number 318. Today we're doing our Agent Carter wrap-up episode. This is it. It's over. Agent Carter's done. But will it be forever? Let's hope not. As usual, if you'd like to get into contact with us, you can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter at re_watchable. You can find us on Tumblr at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com, and you can join our Facebook group, Rewatchables Rewinders. My name is Karen. I will be your host today, and I'm joined by a lot of people. Wait, I have to look at the list. I'm joined by Brittany, Danielle, Kendra, Mai, and Nassim. Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi. Hello.
We're doing a wrap-up episode, which means we're going to talk about the show in general, our thoughts, our feelings, and hey, what's coming next? Because we finally figured it out. That's a whole discussion we will have later. But
took us a while, but we got there.
Yeah. I'm not even sure we're there, to be honest.
But yeah.
We're going to do it one way or another. Okay, so before we jump into all of that, we're going to go with our fun facts. So what's been going on? Anything cool happen? Any funny stories? Brittany, why don't you start us off?
I'm not jet lagged, so I will not fall asleep on this episode like I did last week.
Hooray. It was really cute, though.
Oh, it felt so bad.
Yeah, so recording last week's episode, I was getting too comfortable on my couch, so I had to relocate to the floor halfway through the episode, but then that became just way too comfortable, and I definitely did not fall asleep twice during that episode. But other than that, I guess my fun fact would be that, there's a new, like, you know, Thor can never go away fully in my life. And Christian Borle wrote a Thor and Loki play, which one of my favorite Broadway stars now writing a play about Thor and Loki. Like, who would have guessed? And I spent a lot of time discussing it with various people, and I want to stage a production of it with children because it's meant for children. So that's my new life goal, is to stage a production of Hammered, a Thor and Loki story.
Oh my God.
About adolescent Thor and Loki, just, you know, competing.
I need to watch this.
So I've already ordered the script, guys. Don't worry.
That's oh, good. Awesome. What happened to your other script that you were going to do?
Well, that's on the back burner now that there's one that's actually written for me. The less creative energy I need to expel, the better.
That's fair. Totally fair.
But yeah, so really excited about this. Can't wait to check it out. And glad you've all been on this journey with me as I just become fully immersed as a Thor superfan.
There is a Loki young adult novel coming out, by the way. I think it comes out in September.
Yeah, I actually just got my copy of it on Friday.
Yeah, looks good, right?
It looks pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited. Okay, Danielle, what about you? What's your fun fact?
Oh, crap. I don't really have one. There is a local band that I've been kind of obsessed with lately. Their name is Friday Pilots Club. And I saw them like 4 years ago or something at like some small hole-in-the-wall bar. And this year they finally got signed to a record label. And they played a local music festival and are kind of getting slightly bigger. And their song Problem is my jam. So I've been listening to that on repeat. And they played at a local place last night, but I wasn't able to go because I didn't have anyone to go with. But that's okay. So I'll just keep listening to the music. So if you need me, more than likely, I have that song playing on my headphones.
That's when you go by yourself and pick up a hottie.
I mean, I was debating on going by myself, but I kind of didn't want to. Also, the show was in Wrigleyville, and I really didn't want to deal with the Cubs bros.
Oh.
Not my jam. There's a lot of bros in like Wrigleyville Lakeview where this is like, it's called the Cubby Bear is the location, the venue name, and lots of bros, not my style.
I saw so many bros yesterday. We will get to that later. Kendra, what's your fun fact for the week?
So last week, I guess, I took a full weekend course to get my motorcycle license. So
Ooh.
Kendra, like, stop being so cool.
I second that.
Well, we'll see. The bruises on my body from crashing and the like, I'm fact that I'm still shaking from just intense fear for 3 days might stop me from being so cool, but I do feel like I'm one step closer to being an Avenger now that I passed that course.
That's really awesome. I'm jealous.
Do it, girl.
Yeah, right. I don't even drive a car.
Okay, first step.
Mai, what's your fun fact?
Throwing it back to Brittany. On my way back from visiting family, we drove through a mountain range that is named after where Loki is from.
Oh.
Unfortunately, he wasn't home, so didn't run into any Jotuns.
Well, I mean, he's dead, so.
Is he though?
There's no way he's dead. I'm sorry. He will not be dead until the entire Marvel Universe is dead.
I mean, we do know it's a multiverse, so
yeah,
just like another Loki. But yeah, that's, I saw glaciers and lots of mountains.
Maybe it's better you didn't run into him. He can be a little tricky sometimes. And Nassim, what about you?
I just finished summer classes and it has been a terrible time. And I just looked at my grades and I was like, oh my God, this is the worst grade I've ever gotten in any exam. And then I checked and the mean was like way below me. So I was like,
yeah, God, that's so unfair.
They can't possibly fail half the class. So it probably means that I did better than I thought. So I'm feeling great because I'm not as dumb as I thought I was.
Oh, well, that's congratulations good. On making it through. And those classes are truly the worst when they set you up to fail. That's not fair.
Yeah. Yeah,
will they grade on a curve, though? Again.
Sorry?
Will they grade on a curve?
Probably, because there's only like 14 people in this class.
Oh, wow.
And I think, yeah, because it's summer, so... Yeah, I don't know. I thought I was the only one struggling because I struggle with envisioning shapes in my head. So whenever you're doing like math that has to do with shapes, I'm like, and that tends to be the easiest thing for other people. So it's just very frustrating for me to try and explain why I'm struggling to understand the simpler stuff. But yeah, I mean, I guess I wasn't the only one. So I feel better. I'm assuming they have to curve. If that many people have done badly.
Yeah, I would hope so, at least. But hey, at least you're smarter than almost everybody else. That's all that matters.
Yeah, the important thing is to feel that you're great and everyone else is dumb, right?
Yeah. That's how I've gotten through life.
No, my self-esteem, like, really went down this week, but it's good. It's all good. I'm free now. That's the important part. Never take summer classes, guys. It's a terrible idea. Don't do it.
Okay, so... my fun fact, which I'm pretty sure everybody here knows what it is.
Yep.
I saw the Try Guys last night. It was so great. I saw their Legends of the Internet tour in Detroit. Oh, yes. Yeah. So I saw a lot of bros because we went with Kristen's family. Her parents, they were going to go see a Tigers game while we were at the show. And we went to this place called Hockey Town. And at first it was like kind of dead. And then like 30 bros walked in, literally indistinguishable from each other. And then I just didn't stop seeing bros for the rest of the day. No offense to any bros. If any bros are listening to this, you are cool and valid, but...
we're sure you're great. We just have an immediate aversion to you.
Yeah. But... Try Guys were amazing. The show was completely nuts. Keith literally threw fried chicken into the crowd, like chucking it at people. It was great. Ned talked all about love, and we sang karaoke with Zach, and Eugene was just super gay and danced a lot. It's perfect. I'm surprised I have a voice this morning because I was yelling a lot. But it was really cool, and if anybody has a chance to go see them, they still have some stops left on their tour. Please do, because it's amazing and well worth your time. And
I'm impressed with them. I'm not going to lie, because I thought that they were going to be like a flash in the pan BuzzFeed thing a few years ago, like when BuzzFeed was like, we're all video now. Mm-hmm. And I'm just really impressed.
Yeah.
Still
their stuff. Their journey has been amazing. And I'm not a big YouTuber, and I find a lot of YouTube personalities to be kind of grating. And I don't particularly like people who are like way over the top, but they're really sincere in their stuff, and that's where they get me. But yeah, they've been doing a whole lot lately, and I think that they're just going to keep going. They wrote a book. They went on a tour. They have their own company now. It's crazy. I could talk about the Try Guys all day long, but this is not the Tripod, which is the name of their podcast. So
take your bottle plug.
Yeah. We're here to talk about Agent Carter. It's over, yes, guys. Yeah. How are you feeling?
Not great, Bob. Not great.
Oh, did you guys read the oral history of Not Great Bob? It's pretty good.
No, I have no idea. I don't remember where it comes from.
It's from Mad Men. And that's the point of the article, is like everyone says it and no one has any idea where it's from.
Nope, never seen Mad Men. So.
I feel like that's a lot of memes just in general. Like, yeah. You don't know the origins of them, but they're just part of everybody's vernacular now. I find that fascinating. Okay. I mean, technically, we're all super fans now because we've all seen everything, but OG super fans, meaning me, Danielle, and Mai, we're gonna have a little discussion, check in, see how everybody's doing. What was it like watching the show again, and especially with the newbies? Did you enjoy it? Danielle, I know there was a lot of trepidation, a lot of fear.
There was a lot of fear. Agent Carter is one of my favorite shows. It is not my favorite show. We've already covered that on the podcast. But going into Agent Carter, I was afraid that, I know my feelings for it are valid, but I was afraid that I was hyping it up too much in my mind, that it wasn't a fun show, that it wasn't a good show. And the only reason why I liked it is because of my obsession with Peg. So to hear other people enjoying it made me feel really happy. It really made my day. And going through this the last few months, like, was great to revisit Peg and to talk about all of these things with people, because I didn't have very many people to talk about them with the first time around. So all in all, it was a really great experience for me.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was kind of worried how the show was going to hold up, because it had been a while since I've last watched it, and I knew there were some rumblings in the beginning about things, you know, especially with Wilkes, but in other areas where things didn't quite sit that well. And I'm like, oh, you know, even a couple years later, I feel like those things are gonna sit even worse. And you know, we did Buffy, and Buffy was a train wreck for a lot of people, and we don't exactly, you know, we love all the shows that we do here, but especially when you bring newbies into the mix, you never know how somebody's going to react to something. And we don't like to hold back our opinions, especially when they're valid opinions about race and gender and all that kind of stuff. So I was wondering how hard people were going to come swinging at Agent Carter, but a lot of you guys enjoyed it. And that was really cool. I was really happy that everyone got so into it. Really nice to see that, especially when you're already a fan of a thing and you're bringing it to your friends and you're like, please don't hate this or me by association. Mai, what about you?
I was going to hate it.
Yeah, I was worried about that too.
And I guess, I mean, we're saying that everyone is a super fan now. I guess I'm assuming, or we're assuming, that everyone enjoyed it. So you can always prove us wrong.
Yeah. Please don't. Mai, what about you? What did you think about watching it again?
Yeah, I had a lot of the same thoughts. Like, I was really worried it was going to turn out to be another Buffy. That I was misremembering things, and it was worse than it was, like with Xander. But it turned out to be a good experience, yeah. And I finally figured out why I'm iffy on season two.
Why?
Because it's, you can watch either season as a standalone, almost.
That's true.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, season two was the thing that I was most interested to rewatch this time around. Like, I knew I'd love season one, and season one makes me cry every time. But season two, I remember not liking as much when it was on the first time. But I actually liked it better this time because I think our discussions around it made me see it in a different way. But you're right. It definitely is different and it could be a standalone.
It feels like they're starting over almost.
Yeah, it is a clean slate.
And there's no Angie, so.
Yeah. Good point. So, I mean, we kind of touched on this, but did your opinions of the show change for better or worse? Did you like it this time around better? Like, did it reaffirm everything or did you see anything in a different light because we were discussing it with new people?
Well, I like Jack better.
It's kind of hard not to.
Same.
Anything you didn't like as much?
No.
Okay.
I can sort of answer to this because I watched the first season. So it was the first season half newbie. I think it holds up emotionally for me. I think that like my memories of like, oh wow, this is kind of groundbreaking. I continue to feel that way about it, but I also did feel a little bit more like I was watching like a typical TV show, just from the type of structure that the show has, that I guess nowadays I'm used to watching things that are a little bit more, I don't know, like in the Game of Thrones era, shows are getting a little bit more ambitious and doing weird things with how long they are and how they end and stuff like that. So I think that's kind of the difference, that it kind of feels a little bit campy, like old fashioned TV, which I guess goes with the theme. So it's good.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I do wish that Peg had more female friends.
Yeah, I really felt that this time around.
Yeah.
And I mean, I will say that I like that she can hold her own, you know, physically and as a personality with the guys. But I really do think that she needed, that either Angie needed to be a lot more present, or she just needed more people in general. I think at the very least, Angie needed to be more present, but it would have been nice to have more women in general, just kind of populating the main characters instead of a lot of background characters.
It's a little bit like Harry Potter only having two friends.
Yeah. Oh my God, he really does. Yeah, I think that's a fair point. All right, newbies. So we have Kendra, Nassim, and Brittany. You guys saw Agent Carter for the first time. What did you think?
Yay. I really liked it, surprisingly, because I came in very angry off of Buffy. Well, actually, no. Okay, angry off of Buffy, happy off of Angel. So Angel Season 5 put me in a great mood to move into a show that I'd never seen before. But I was a little nervous that it would be like another one of those shows where people keep telling me, it gets better, I swear, it gets better, I swear. And then I'm 7 seasons into Buffy and it doesn't get better. So I really liked it from the get-go, which I was then nervous that it was going to get bad. Being a newbie is very hard, and being a newbie for many years is even harder. So, you know, because you just don't know what you're going to get and you don't know how much time you're putting into something for something that you may or may not like. But yeah, I liked it from the beginning. And it was actually what they did with 13 episodes, or like, what was it, 8 and 10 or something, however many it was. It was very short. So that kind of caught me by surprise, how well they did with such little breathing room. Like, it wasn't like we were settling in. It's like, okay, here's 22 episodes and let's see what they do with the season and how they set up something else. It was very short, and I think that helped the show. I know, unfortunately, that means we're left with less Agent Carter, but I think it helped tremendously in terms of like tighter storytelling, because I can't imagine where the story could have gone with more episodes, like in a specific season. But yeah, I really, really liked it. And of course, you know, you put someone like Jarvis on the screen in front of me, I'm going to be fine. So.
Yeah. Ugh.
I definitely found season 2 more fun than I was expecting, because I assumed that since it was canceled, there was something wrong with it. But I actually feel like season 2 does a lot of things better than season 1 did. And yeah, that was definitely surprising to me. I was kind of bracing myself for season 2 because I really thought that like it was gonna just kind of jump the shark, but nope.
You watched season one and decided not to watch season two, or just sort of fell off. So you kind of already had this pre-established notion in your mind about that.
Though I'm not sure if I did watch the entirety of season one or not. Those little things, I still don't know. I'm not sure what I was doing with my life at the time. Why did I do? There's definitely a mystery there.
Nothing important if you weren't watching Agent Carter.
Clearly. Now, I was probably traveling when it was airing or something. I really don't know.
That's fair. What about you, Kendra?
I really liked it. I thought there was a lot worthwhile in watching it. One of the highlights definitely was kind of filling out / confusing Howard Stark, and like getting Jarvis, obviously, is a highlight of the series. Peggy's a great character. So like her strong and powerful moments were always fun to watch. And she's got some great quotes that I always see peppered over Danielle's social media. So it was nice to get some context for those.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah. There were some flaws that I wasn't expecting, but didn't really hamper my experience. Generally, like, it didn't really have the hook that made me like obsess over it. It was just kind of like fun to come back to week after week. I'm not sure I would call myself a super fan, but I did like it. I enjoyed the experience.
Oh, that's fair. And I think that's good. Not all television has to be your next obsession, you know? And I think sometimes it's just nice to have a good quality show that you keep coming back to because you're interested, but it doesn't, you know, take up every space in your head. Probably for the best. Speaking of context and everything, I know everyone here is an MCU fan to varying degrees. I'm curious, now that newbies, you've seen this, do you think Agent Carter could stand alone on its own as just a period drama? Because there was discussion in the beginning of when Agent Carter was coming out, and Danielle could probably speak better to this, about
the marketing.
Yeah, them pitching it as like an MCU MCU television show and tying it all into that. And I think a lot of people are hesitant to jump into, oh my God, here's another Marvel thing I have to watch, versus this doesn't tie into the rest of the MCU a whole lot. And if they had just pitched it as like sort of a light sci-fi period drama, they probably would have gotten more people to watch, maybe. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't think so at all. I think it needed the tie-in, because that was something else I wanted to kind of bring up, was that if I had gone into this being like, oh, you know, this is my dad, as a standalone example, had no idea that this was tied to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I was going to ask about that.
My dad has never seen a single MCU movie. But he
liked the show with the girl.
Yeah. And he's a person who's like sitting on the couch and this came on after whatever else he was watching. So it's not like that he's that demographic of viewer. Yeah. But he also sought out Gotham because it was Batman. Like, you know, like he needed that tie to get into that show. I mean, the title doesn't really hide what it is, but, you know. But with Agent Carter, I think it did need, because it was so early on, I think if Agent Carter was introduced even like 6 months closer to like the Netflix shows or started on Netflix, I don't think it probably would have needed any sort of MCU like tie-in, like, oh, this is a Marvel show, here it is. Like, you're going to obviously pitch it as Marvel's whatever because it's the property. But I think it probably did need the tie-in to the cinematic universe, not necessarily like, oh, if you don't watch this, you're going to have no idea what's going on. But just the role that she played in the first Avenger, I think it probably needed to remind people of that. And I know that's something that we kind of, not harped on, but like discussed a lot, where it's like, oh, is this story only valid because it's tied to Cap? No, it's valid because it's Peggy's story. And she needs to carve her story apart from that. But I do think that it needed that launching point from a marketing perspective, even though I'm sure Danielle will fill in how horrible the marketing is.
but I think personally it needed the tie-in, and I think it would have hurt the show probably even more if it didn't have it.
Yeah, I think it's a delicate balance. For I think the tie-in is necessary to a point. It just also sucks because when I talk about Agent Carter as a person, when I talk about Peggy, no one knows who I'm talking about, even though I'm talking about it in the context of Marvel. And I have to say, like, Captain America's girlfriend. And I think if the show was titled Captain America's Girlfriend, maybe it would have been better. I don't know.
That would have been so awful.
Yeah, I would have been mad. But we might have gotten more viewers. And that sucks. So, like, the Marvel tie-in perhaps helped it a little bit. But then they also made it a January, February show. Like, it took the hiatus slot from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and inserted itself in there. So, like, I think it was also being marketed as a tie-in to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in a way. So if people weren't watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or weren't watching television in this specific time slot, they also missed this. And, like, the television promos for the show were super quick and, like, not all that interesting. I don't know. The marketing just wasn't great. So the reason why I was thinking that it might have done better without the Marvel title is that because of the way it was kind of pigeonholed and the people that they were, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't doing that well anyway. And the people they were targeting for the show that wasn't doing well, like, it was only them really that were being targeted, and it wasn't being targeted wider with the Marvel branch. I don't know. The marketing was just very weird, and they didn't do a great job, probably because it was just a filler show to them, and that's how they treated it.
Yeah, I mean, now that you've said that, though, that actually, that would be my call, too. If I was running the studio, I would put it in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. replacement spot for hiatus, because you have people who forget Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on hiatus and are tuning in, and then they're seeing a show that's tangentially related, basically only because of the Marvel, and then, you know, I mean, timeline-wise, not even close, but I think that would be the best chance for the show to get viewers, actually. I kind of get that.
As a mid-season replacement show, I think they did put it in the best spot possible, but it's too bad that it wasn't its own fall show.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
I think that they probably should have greenlit a full season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if they were able to do that, then absolutely, that would have been more ideal, is if they were able to give it a full, even like a full meaning like the new full now, which is like 13 episodes or something.
Right.
But since it was only given 8, that's definitely its best chance for survival.
And if you think about it, Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of run on the same premise, in that they took a beloved character from the movies and made a show about them, because that's what S.H.I.E.L.D. is all about, is Coulson. And I think that was a lot of people, I mean, that was the initial reason why people tuned into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and that ended up being a pretty good show moving forward. I think that they definitely could have run with that same concept. And because of the different eras and the different leads, it wouldn't have felt like they were the same kind of show, even though this would have been like precursor to S.H.I.E.L.D. It still feels like they have very different like tones and vibes and everything. So, newbies, would you watch the show again?
I would watch it maybe if the right person was watching it for the first time.
Mm.
I don't think I would rewatch the entire show, but I usually just don't rewatch shows in general. I'll look at scenes that I enjoyed again. But like maybe if my sister was getting into it, then I mean, she's getting into Marvel, so maybe this would be one of the next steps, because it's a good show for like younger kids as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think in that context, I might rewatch it. I might look at scenes, but I don't think I would watch the entire show again.
Okay.
I think if it was on TV, if I like saw an episode on, I might watch it. I can't see myself sitting down to watch the series again. I feel like it takes a lot for me to do that.
That's fair.
There has to be vampires in it, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I would say never say never. And I agree with Nassim. I think if someone was watching it and I was like, oh yeah, I'll sit down and watch this with you. If they were watching it for the first time or they were really into it and wanted to rewatch it. Because if you had paid me $1,000 at the end of Buffy to say that I would never watch it again, I would have taken it. but one of my best friends is watching Buffy for the first time. And I go over there literally to spend a full day watching Buffy and Angel. So, I mean, I'm still rewatching most of Buffy in small chunks. Like, I'll only watch it when I'm with her and I'll be like, what episode are you on? And then I'll like wiki what has been going on. But yeah, so like, again, if the circumstances align, I don't think I would personally seek it out. I'll probably rewatch the musical numbers every now and then because that was just like a dream, literally a dream.
I was going to say very literally.
Yeah. but yeah, I don't think I'll actively seek it out. I would be interested if I were to go back and rewatch it either with someone or like, you know, I get the flu or something to see how my opinions of Jack in season one change, having had the difficulty of talking about Jack in season two. So I think I'd want to go back and rewatch like a supercut of Jack scenes in season one.
What a great segue. The next point in the doc says, let's talk about Jack. I wanted to put this in here because he was like the standout for this round of podcasting in that going in, he's kind of an ass and you don't really know how to take him. And by the end, I think especially Ariana and Brittany, but a lot of other people are like, oh, so Jack. And that was so interesting to me. And there have been, you know, several Twitter debates on whether he would be Hydra and all this other stuff. So what do you think makes Jack so interesting? And even though he's clearly supposed to be an antagonist, not necessarily a villain, but an antagonist for Peggy, what makes you want to root for him?
I think it's pretty clear right from the start that even though he's kind of in charge in a way and trying to keep Peggy down, like it's clear that he's not super confident and that he doesn't really know what's going on. Like he's not super confident. So you kind of root for him to turn it around and be on the good side because it doesn't really seem like he's on his own side even. But I was kind of didn't really feel like I got that from him.
It's what I call the fan fiction Draco Malfoy effect. Like, he's redeemable because he's, like, almost there. But sometimes his past catches up with him. And you're like, I can save him. I can make him better. That's the appeal for me, at least. I think that's the moments in which he's interesting to me. But I do think that he's kind of a mess of a person. And that shouldn't be too romanticized either.
Yeah, that's fair. I think like you don't like him?
No.
Oh.
I liked him in season one, and I'm completely against him still in season
one. Oh, okay. My best. So it's only Ariana who is obsessed with him?
I'm not a fan. I haven't been a fan for a while.
Yeah, I had high hopes, but he dashed them all.
Hmm.
Yeah, and that's why I think like a season three would have maybe pushed him over the edge into like maybe likable territory. But for me, he never got there. And I just didn't have, there wasn't enough in season two for me to be like, I'm going to put so much effort into trying to make this character have something that's not on screen. So I was just like, I'm going to deal with what's happening on screen and write my Jarvis fan fiction as opposed to like trying to project something on Jack that I don't think is there or isn't there yet. So like Nassim was saying, the Draco Malfoy fanfic effect, I just wasn't willing to give it the energy like, oh, if only. I wasn't feeling it with him and I didn't think it was worth my while, especially because he just wasn't there most of the time. And when he was there, I was annoyed that he was there.
I think it's the anti-hero thing, you know, like that's why we like Loki and even Tony Stark, like people who are predisposed to being terrible, even Howard to some extent, you know, people who kind of struggle with morality and doing the right thing, who do get that push into doing the right thing and grow so much because of it. that's amazing to watch. And I think Jack has that potential. And unfortunately, we're in the stage right now where he's still waffling a bit. You know, he still does terrible things or things we don't like, even though we know he's a good person. And so it's hard to like him because of that. We never got to the point where we saw him take that final step toward being good, trusting in Peggy 100% and like backing her up no matter what over his own ambitions. And you're right, Brittany. I think if we had a season three, like we would have started walking into that territory and that would have been even more interesting.
I will say that this time around, and I guess it is just because of Ariana, I did see Jack in a slightly more positive way, though. I think when I first watched Agent Carter, I saw him as like, not a villain, but not an anti-hero, just like somewhere in between, like an annoyance that was just a constant barrier.
Yeah, he was Peggy's obstacle for like so much.
Mm-hmm. And just as that, like I never considered, because Agent Carter and because Peggy is very much an outlet for me and for my frustrations, whether it be like in the workplace or elsewhere, I was very much focused on this side of the 1940s that doesn't get talked about often, which is like women's roles and kind of how they're treated during and post-war. But I think also there's what Jack is going through, like that is also a side that's not necessarily discussed in just the emotions or like the headspace that he was in. And so I kind of wrote him off as just like, I don't need to care about what's going on with this male because I want to know what's going on with Peggy. Like I need Peggy. But I think this time around, I was able to see that there was a little bit more nuance to the different experiences. And it's not just like male and female. Like there were different levels of things going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. Cool. Yeah. Poor Jack. And as of right now, we don't know if we'll ever know what happens. Of course, there is that hope that Disney Plus could possibly be doing something with Agent Carter season 3, but we have no idea. We do know she's going to be in an animated episode of a like anthology kind of show called What If, right? And it's going to be about if she had taken the serum and become Captain America. And Haley is voicing her.
Captain Carter.
Yep. So that's going to be coming to Disney Plus at some point. I think Disney Plus kicks off in November, if I'm...
That sounds right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll definitely have to, you know, everybody should watch that, see what they think of it. And yeah, I would really like to see Peggy again, obviously. I think she is a great character. I know we had... Our last episode was a whole discussion of Peggy in the MCU and all the craziness that whatever the heck Endgame means for her character and all of that. Would you guys like to see her pop up again in another movie? Maybe like, you know, Captain Marvel would probably be a good fit. Something in the past where she can play herself without all the old makeup and whatnot. Would that be interesting to you guys?
Definitely be interesting. You definitely would have to address in some way what happened in Endgame, or maybe just wouldn't, and people would have to wonder. Mm-hmm. But she's definitely a backbone of the MCU still, so it would always be interesting to see more of her.
Yeah, I would like her to just kind of show up and be mostly in her position as like an authority, now that we know that she had a much more powerful role later on. I think that might be cool to see her be someone's boss in that era. So I don't know. It might be nice. I do think though, if they're going to do something that places her as a central character, I would be a lot more critical of that than her as a side character just kind of showing up.
Why would you be more critical as a central character?
Because then a lot of the writing can go wrong. Mm. I mean, even with Endgame or with Danielle's article, which people should read, you get to see a lot of the things that they could have done better.
And right.
I feel like if you have her playing such a crucial role, you need to really work on making sure all the details fit in and don't actually detract from her story. If she's just a side character, like the authority figure, kind of like a Nick Fury kind of situation, that kind of just blends into the background because it's not relevant information.
That's fair. No one, Peggy retired?
After 89, because 89 was Ant-Man.
Yeah.
She was still there.
Mm. Okay.
I think I would have enjoyed like a mini series of watching S.H.I.E.L.D. grow with her in charge and seeing how Hydra infiltrated.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this show would have gotten there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I want to see her again. But I've been burned so many times.
You've been hurt.
Like, I was hurt kind of with Ant-Man because it was so brief. I was hurt with Civil War because, like, she was there, but she wasn't, and they just killed her off. And I mean, and then there's Endgame, where, like, she was sort of made to be a slightly central character, but like she's not a central character. She's a central object or a central trophy. And that hurt a lot. So I would only really want to see her again if she had an important role to play. I don't know if I would want to see her as like someone they can trot out every once in a while when they feel like it, mm-hmm. because then that feels like they're doing the bare minimum in terms of like fan service and making the people who really love her happy. It just feels like a tease that I'm getting tired of.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair. And I think this seems right. If you are going to make her a central character, you have to make sure you do it right. I think there's a ton of room to see her again. And especially as, you know, now that the first era of the MCU is over with Endgame, we know a little bit of what's coming next, but we don't know everything. And from the beginning, we've been sort of moving in a chronological order. There have been a couple of outliers and everything, but now we saw that you could kind of go back in time with Captain Marvel and it not screw everything up in terms of like the continuity. And so I think if they wanted to do a movie where they jumped back a little bit and it was, you know, maybe pitched as a spinoff or something where it's just like a standalone where we get to see her in some sort of capacity, hopefully a major capacity, I think they could do that without the whole timeline kind of breaking down more than it already is after Endgame. All right, so that's kind of it for Peggy. Do we have anything else that we want to say about Agent Carter?
That I love her very much, and she will always be a giant influence on me. And also, she's now permanently our body.
I was going to say, this round was kind of a big deal for you. You got your first tattoo because of it. Well, not because of us, but it helped.
It helped. The timing was really great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, this show meant a lot to me when it first came out because I was going through a lot of issues with work and life in general. And I think this time around, things were better. I still had some hardships that she helped me through, but, and just talking about her with everybody just made me happy. I like sharing Peg and I like getting people to the place where they know her as more than Captain America's girlfriend because she means so much to me. Like I love her more than I love Steve Rogers. Which is saying a lot for those who know me. I cry over him daily. So I'm happy that we did this. I'm happy that we could do this and that it was a show that people were open to and didn't shoot down.
Yeah, for sure. We had a lot of excitement coming into this round and that was nice coming off of Buffy.
I mean, also, correction, we were coming off of Sense8, which no one remembers that we did.
Oh, crap.
We recorded Sense8. Our first intro episode on this day last year.
Oh.
Yeah, I completely forgot about Sense8.
Mm-hmm. So did I. And I love Sense8, I think Buffy just stands out in my mind because, one, it took 87 years. And two, like, people had very strong opinions about Buffy. I feel like Sense8 went pretty well. So.
Well, it went pretty well for me because these are the two shows that I've done. I'm really glad that you guys decided to go with Agent Carter because I could come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Apologies to Sense8 and all of its fans. But hopefully Rewatchable has the rewatchable effect and Agent Carter will come back in some capacity. We can only hope.
Because we put you out into the world.
Yes, we did. But we got to move on. What are we going to move on to? This has been the question we've been asking ourselves for months. We had a plan. That plan was established quite a long time ago. Actually, when we started Sense8, we had picked out our next four shows. We had it locked down. That has since all fallen to pieces, which is totally fine. What we're going to do instead is, and you guys want this, discuss Veronica Mars.
We're going back.
Yeah. Veronica Mars is going to be our next show. There's a new season coming out on Hulu on July.
20-something.
I think 24th.
Oh. What is it?
I thought 26th. I could be wrong.
If it's a Friday, 26th.
Yeah.
Okay. On July 26th.
We're prepared, guys.
So that's actually, that's actually pretty far away. So what we're going to...
Still figuring this out.
Honestly. So what we're going to do is I think we're going to take a little break. We're going to have a couple of weeks off, and then we are going to jump into Veronica Mars when it comes out. We'll do probably our intro episode the weekend it comes out. That way everybody has about a week until we jump into the first episode. We're probably going to do it episode by episode. Don't hold us to that. We're still trying to figure it out. We want to get, obviously, the people that are still here that were on originally. Who does that include? I always forget. You and me.
That who originally were on that, on the round?
Yeah.
You, me. I'm sorry. Karen, Danielle, Ariana.
Okay.
I think it's just us.
Okay. So three of us should be on there. And Mai is also a fan. Kendra's also a fan.
Yay. A fan. Big fan.
Yes. Yeah, they are both very big fans.
So they will be joining us. Nassim, unfortunately, is very busy and will have to bow out.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I haven't watched Veronica Mars before, so I feel like it would be weird to come out of nowhere.
But hopefully we will have Nassim back coming up soon because we like her and want her to stick around. Brittany, you have not seen Veronica Mars. I feel like you're just like, I'll watch it if you want me to.
Well, that's what I said. I'm like, if you want someone who's never seen the show at all to chime in on just the revival, I'm your girl. But honestly, no one wants to hear me talk about that. So I will just politely bow out and edit your episodes.
I mean, if people want to see that, let us know because I think that would be fun. But as of right now, I think we have 5 hosts then.
I think so, because Natalie will also.
And Kristen. Kristen's seen it. Yeah. I'm sorry, Kristen. Please never listen to this episode. I love you so much. Kristen is super down for Veronica Mars as well. So we have 6 people.
And so this round is going to be, as far as we know, going to be working a little bit differently. As Karen just mentioned, like, it won't necessarily be newbies and super fans. Because it's a continuation of a show that we've already covered. So to clarify, like, we will only be covering the new episodes of Veronica Mars that are coming out, but you are more than welcome in the time in between to go back and listen to, I think this was season around 2 of Rewatchable, actually.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
It was a very long time ago. I was very new to Hypeable. A lot of us had never met in person. We were not the friends that we are now. Mm-hmm. But I think the discussions are still really interesting. So if that's something that you think you would be interested in doing, if you've always wanted to watch Veronica Mars, this might be a really great time. And we have all those episodes in the archive. They go through season one, season two, and the movie of Veronica Mars.
Yeah. And Danielle and Kendra are going to be, we have screeners, they're going to be watching them.
Oh, I didn't know I could say that. Yes, I have Veronica Mars screeners.
I don't see why not, as long as we don't spoil anything. So you guys are definitely going to be watching them because you have to like help cover the show and stuff for the site. I am assuming the rest of us might watch on a like weekly basis because of the podcast. Again, still working out the details. So maybe there will be a like super fan newbie kind of dynamic. But I don't know. We could all watch it ahead of time and then discuss it. You guys let us know what you want. Maybe we'll put something up on Twitter and we'll figure out what everybody wants to do best. But we have like almost a month before any of this becomes relevant. So we're going to hash out the details, let you know for sure what's happening. Watch our Twitter. That's like the best news source for what we're going to be doing. And then we'll be back hopefully the weekend of July 26th with an intro episode. And unfortunately, Danielle, you're not going to be there.
No. So I, as I mentioned last week in last week's episode, I am going on a trip to Greece, which I'm super excited about. But also, I am gone for when Veronica Mars premieres. So I will be gone a few weeks. So the first few episodes will be without me, which is fine. I'll just have a lot to say when I get back.
Yeah. The timing is kind of unfortunate all around.
A little bit.
We're really struggling with this round, you guys. But yeah, we're going to figure it out and it's going to be great. And it's only 8 episodes.
Yes.
Yeah. So this will be pretty quick. And then we'll move into the next thing, which we will let you know when we figure out what that is for sure. But Veronica Mars, hey,
Veronica, it's coming back. Mars.
I'm
going
excited.
From one of my favorite shows to my all time favorite show.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
So it should be cool.
So worried.
Yeah, I'm a little worried too.
But I'm hopefully. Just worried because of what Kristen Bell said at some point that like she is going to hop off of social media after it drops.
Oh wow.
So
I'm definitely worried for Veronica and Logan.
Oh yeah.
I think that might be why she'll drop off, but
down. I'm gonna be so mad.
Yep.
But Dick will be fine, right, guys?
Yeah.
Always.
Dick's always fine.
Love Dick.
Who doesn't love Dick?
Oh, my gosh.
Don't take that soundbite. Don't take that out of context.
I love saying that in public as much as possible.
I love Dick so much.
I love that shirt they had during the show.
I have, yeah.
Okay, so as you can see, Veronica Mars should be a good time. It's ridiculous and we love it so much. But yeah, watch Twitter. We'll give you details as soon as we know them for sure. And it should be fun. But we are going to be taking a little hiatus. So don't miss us too much. But if you do miss us, go back and either listen to for the first time or re-listen to our Veronica Mars round. It's a lot of fun. It's where a lot of, you know, our friendships were cemented. So.
And during one episode, Kristen Bell tweeted at me while we were recording. So.
Yes.
That's fun in there too.
As a fun fact, the first Veronica Mars episode was almost exactly 300 episodes ago. So,
wow.
Episode 17 is the season one, episode one discussion.
Damn. Oh my God.
We were babies.
Babies. I had just graduated college and you had asked me to do this podcast when I just joined the site. And I was like, sure, I have no idea what I'm doing. So nervous through that whole episode, recorded it on my bed because I didn't have a desk. Oh my gosh. So many things.
I'm glad you got to kick off your podcasting experience with a good one. Whereas I was in and tried to get everybody to watch Pushing Daisies and everybody hated me, which is when I took my dark turn.
Brittany used to be a positive person.
Yeah, I was a positive person until Karen was like, why don't you come on the podcast? And I was like, okay. And then everybody crapped on me and now I'm just
I'm sorry.
So literally everything is my fault.
That sounds about right.
It's a combination of you and the clucking witch hen.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. But you've taken that phrase back. You own it now. We need t-shirts. Okay, so that should be exciting. Yay. We'll see what happens. little bit of a break, but we will be back. So don't forget about us. All right. So if you would like to get into contact with us, please do so. We want to really hear what you think about us doing Veronica Mars, how you want us to handle it, what you'd like to see. We'll do the best we can to make all of your wishes come true. Please email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at re_watchable. Find us on Tumblr at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. We also love iTunes reviews. iTunes reviews helps other people find us, helps the podcast family grow, and we really like that. We want more of you guys to come in. So if you rate us 5 stars on iTunes, then I will stand outside Disney Plus headquarters with a sign that reads, "Renew Agent Carter." That might be the best incentive we've ever given.
That'll be that most helpful one. I'm going to make you do that regardless, honestly.
Where is Disney headquarters?
I'm assuming it's in California.
I know the book headquarters is in New York, but that's books. All books are in New York. Did you
remember Storm? I don't know, with the different save show hashtags. We will actually like physically go to the studios ever.
I think Hunter, they usually send packages.
Oh, they send packages?
They send they were packages sending, for Sense8, they would send a flip-flop.
Veronica Mars, they sent Mars bars.
Yep, they sent Mars bars.
Shadow Hunters hired a plane to fly over.
Wow.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
What did Into the Badlands do?
Nothing. They're still meeting and figuring it out.
Yeah. That's cool, though. But yeah, please leave us iTunes reviews. I will, maybe next year at Comic-Con, I'll just walk around with a Renew Agent Carter sign. It'll be great.
If it's not renewed by then.
Yes, obviously.
Well, actually, or even if it is, because we just want them to know that they should just.
Thank you for renewing Agent Carter, and please keep going. I might need a bigger sign. Also, don't forget about our Facebook group, Rewatchables Rewinders. It's a lot of fun. You can post about all of our past shows. And now that Agent Carter is done, you can post anything you want about Agent Carter. It's very cool. We love to interact with people on there. Memes are good. Articles are good. Discussion points are great. And especially now that we've announced we're doing Veronica Mars, we can start talking about Veronica Mars a little bit more. And especially if we're going to take a little bit of a hiatus, we need some stuff to talk about, so please visit our Facebook group and talk to us there. We do have some listener feedback. This first one is from Twitter, and it's a name we might recognize. Brittany, do you want to grab this one?
Sure. So our dearest friend Leo wrote to us, and her handle is at the Lady Mania. Cannot speak. And she says, just as a shout out to Haley's acting, has everyone seen the full recording from the Smithsonian interview? Have I shouted about this before? It's weirdly harrowing watching her hold her English professional properness over her personality and watching it peek through. Obviously, it isn't show specific, but God, she's so good at her job. A mostly cut in universe media snippet wouldn't normally be this interesting. And we have the YouTube link, which I'll put in the show notes and tweet out again. Even though I replied, I didn't actually tweet it out. But I'll tweet it out. It's really good and really cool. And
I don't know that I've seen this.
I didn't before yesterday.
Oh. And
it had me crying a little bit.
This sounds about right.
Yeah.
That's cool, though. I feel like that is true, even without having seen it. Like, an in-universe media snippet wouldn't normally be this interesting. But especially when you're talking about the MCU, I think people just love seeing everything, like those cut scenes with Captain America, like with Steve just walking around and like going to the cafe and stuff. Like, people love seeing the daily stuff and the things that make them feel more human. And it makes a lot of sense that this would be impactful. And Danielle, will you get this next one?
Sure. This next tweet comes from Eric Johnson at Eric J Designs. And he says, y'all have been a delight to listen to. This is a fun series of reviews discussions. While you all may be moving on from Peg, the audio will live on forever to revisit. Excited to see and hear what's next. Thanks, Eric. Aww. That's so nice. It'll live on forever.
Yeah.
And ever.
And ever. 86, and when we look back on this, guys, do you remember the time?
Do you remember the time Danielle cried on Karen's couch?
At 86, we'll still be talking about how long Buffy was.
Yeah.
Most likely.
And we'll forget that we did Sense8.
No.
Okay, one last piece of listener feedback, and this one's a whopper. It's a good one. We're going to have Kendra read it out.
Okay, so this is an email we received from my friend and Hypeable fan, Janik. He says, "Rewatchable crew, I cannot believe it is finally time for me to reach out. I must admit, I've been tempted for ages, especially since my dear friend Kendra continued her quest for Hypeable domination by joining the podcast." Not true, I swear. "Given I had recently finished rewatching the first season during a quarter-life crisis moment, Peggy being my guiding angel, and had an irresistible urge to binge the entire second season once you got to it, I had to contain myself till now. And man, do I have thoughts. Mostly about season 2, as I still find the first to be stellar television, regardless of the fact that I find myself agreeing with Ariana on it feeling like a feminist product of its time. So here we go. 1. Jarvis. Enough words have already been uttered on this gift of a fictional human being, but in case it's still not enough, I did write him a little love letter. I've attached it so. If you feel so inclined, you may read it aloud. Main takeaway, though, is that I will forever aspire to be him when I grow up. 2. Flashbacks. Once again, many words have been let out, especially from me, to one of the panelists during a catch-up call. I won't bother you with it all. Yes, us writers are a bucket of endless rants sometimes, but basically it boils down to this. Favorite episode, liked Peggy's background, turned Whitney into a victim of circumstance, read, hinted abusive mother, more so than of society, which ultimately hurt her character. The end. Now, I'm well aware none of these two are necessarily that ripe for discussion, but I've been holding on for so long, I just needed to get it out. That and the fact that you are all simply a delight to listen to. If only the execs of my former employer would lend their ear to, maybe we'd get that renewal. He worked for Disney Paris.
This took such a turn.
Very much so.
After all, if in doubt, do what Rewatchable says. Till our next correspondence, Janik.
Aww.
I love that. Do what Rewatchable says.
That's the next tattoo.
I want that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
I need to. How do I open this? Open.
Do you have to press control and then open?
It wasn't working.
Oh, it's like on two lines here. Karen is trying to open a link to the letter to Edwin Jarvis.
Oh.
Right click, open link.
That's stupid. Thanks. Are we going to read this as well?
I love this. We should. I haven't read all of it, actually, but
can
I love
it. Post it on the Twitter?
Probably. Okay. Who's going to read this? Kendra, it's got to
sure.
be you.
Okay. And here is the aforementioned love letter to Jarvis, which is signed by Janik, but I think we can all put our stamp of approval on as well as the Rewatchable crew. So here it is. Edwin, I've said it before and I'll say it again. You, my dear friend, are a national treasure. I know you won't hear it, that in this very moment, you're probably hand-waving this away with the phrases of, what a bunch of jiffy silliness, and if this was a cup of tea, I'd pour it right down the drain. But you've got to trust me on this. You discredit yourself way too easily. The garments cleaning, the condiment making, the flamingo taming, these are all very important tasks to fulfill. Sure, they may not be entirely as exciting as the many tales you've been telling me about your comrade Peggy. However, how many of us can actually expect to turn out like her? A woman of great steadfastness, conviction, and willingness to get the work done, albeit with a bit of excessive rule-breaking if you ask me. I believe the answer is not many. In fact, I'd even wager that though you may share the qualities above, you exude them differently. After all, one of the world's greatest disappointments is definitely to never have seen you grace an intense blue trench coat. Imagine the handsomeness. I'm sure Anna can. She's always been a bright one, keeping you at bay in times of great distress. Well, for the most part, anyhow. Look, I'm sorry about what happened, and though my comfort will never suffice, I'd still like to leave you with what little life advice I've got. The words that, unlike what Hollywood so often makes you believe, states that oftentimes dreams have to be let go of in order to be replaced. It's not fair, unfortunately, but life takes its toll, even so. As of right now, my only dream is for you to know that I'm here, Know that I want to see you again. And finally, know that every day, regardless of your flaws, I wish to be more like you. Till our next correspondence, Janik.
Oh my God.
Can someone write me a letter this night?
Can someone write us an iTunes review that nice?
Yeah, right.
I love stars so much.
Dear Rewatchable crew, I've said it before and I'll say it again. You, my dear friend, are a national treasure. That would be nice.
This is so lovely, though. Thank you, Janik, for sharing this.
Yeah, it was great. And your email was great.
I can't believe a hug or a high five.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it for us for today. Good Agent Carter discussion. On to Veronica Mars.
Again.
Everything's a hot mess, but we'll see what happens. Please let us know what you guys want, and we'll talk to you again in a little bit. So until then, I'm Karen.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Mai.
I'm Brittany.
I'm Nassim.
And I'm Kendra.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
I read it and I was like, okay, Kendra's before me.
I was like desperately trying to scroll to the sign-off portion.
We're so good at sign-off.
How long have we been doing this, you guys?
Not 17 episodes.
Maybe next episode we'll get it.
Yeah. Sorry for constantly saying we're a hot mess. That's just how I feel.
Well, I think that everything's a hot mess, but we'll see what happens should be our new podcast slogan.
Yeah.